That's a real sign when you take a case, they're allergic to natural foods in their natural form. That should change. But if you have people, a lot of people are allergic to wheat and soy. And though people allergic to wheat, these people are rejecting wheat. You can call it allergy all you want. That's just a word. They're rejecting it. The same as a cigarette. A teenager lights a cigarette and coughs and chokes. That's a rejection phenomenon. People eat wheat and they get gas and indigestion and fermentation and candida. It's a rejection phenomenon. If you raise their vitality up, you can correct that rejection phenomenon, but still the quantity of wheat will be poisonous to even the healthiest person. That's one of the seven sins, gluttony. It says that the wheat will be poisonous. Alcohol and all the grains are formed from fermenting of wheat. Okay? And they ferment in your intestines. It's a very simple way to cure a lot of people of a lot of diseases is cut down their grains, assuming the heavy meat and all that. Most people we know are in this chicken, fish, grain diet. Right? And they never took that next step, eliminate, at least drop the chicken and then and do fish. But if you cut down your grains, you see big boost. No, it's starch, taste. Remember you made those things in high school, grade school? Put starch and water in? That's what's inside us. And cooked potatoes and vegetables and all that are fine, especially in the winter. Raw is higher, but still, that's a good, the Hunzas and all that, they have cooked food. They're not in the raw food. Cooked and dry and all this is real solid for a diet. Yes?
The big
myth in this acid alkaline thing, this is why I used to adhere to that real strongly, is that what's alkaline, acid on your teeth will may go alkaline like lemon juice in your blood, but it's too late for your teeth. So this is the original thing we started with, right? What's causing all this tooth decay? It's meat and starch.
So you think the millet on a mountain level is the same as rice, but maybe when it gets to the
gut? It's only a quantity. If you have a high millet diet, then you will get the same fermentation and acid-forming properties. Okay, so good. If a fourth of your diet is starch, that's real good. Most people I know, including myself, we're over 50-60%. And a lot of our meals are almost all starch. You have pizza, right? You have pasta. That's 90% starch, okay? And all we have to do is adjust and have smaller portions of pasta and a bigger salad. That's all you have to do is move the things around. You don't have to eliminate anything if you're on a regular good diet.
Where do you put corn and all that?
Yeah, raw corn would be right up there, you know, next
to
the...
I would.
That's the trick. If you can eat, we can eat sweet corn raw, then that's up there in the higher group. If the corn is inedible, like blue corn, then it's down there in the lower group. So these principles, you can understand foods that way.
Look at the cultural tendencies too, you know,
right.
Hot-tempered
right.
Nature of,
right.
You know, Italians and Latin.
That's right, yeah. And that's the whole thing in the warlike nature of Chinese versus India. You know, they both have great developments. Two cultures I love the best is China and India. But China, I mean, kung fu and martial arts and war and that. And all the Chinese acupuncture are taught you have to have meat for the blood. I mean, it's a total lie.
Well, you look at also the herbs versus homeopathy.
Right.
It's taken and
that's right.
Boiled and condensed and homeopathy
right.
Is a raw
right. It's a vibratory thing. So, and it goes further even to your thoughts, and that's the secret of meditation, is everything you thought or think or dwell on, you're potentizing your thoughts. And that's where mantra meditation comes from. That you think one thought and repeat it over and over for years, that thought becomes potentized. So you're doing, if you're eating flesh and meat, you're proving it. All the diseases, heart disease, cancers, are provings of those substances. Okay? Now we can call it clogging of the arteries or toxemia, but we're actually proving meat. You're proving it. And the animal's vibration and all that are in it. So you want to, that's what the saying, you are what you eat, is all about. Okay? So we have to move on, else we're not going to get through any dental stuff. Okay.
About ayurvedic medicine, don't they talk about these things
Right. Right. No, no, no. Anybody that studied Ayurvedic medicine, if you have an Ayurvedic person that recommends meat, they never took, this is the same with traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine, our civilization intellectual review of old literature. Now, if you want the real knowledge, you have to go to the yoga tradition and you have to go to the Taoists. That's where that came from, that higher came from. And they saw these as all vibratory things. No yogi eats meat, and Buddhists, I mean, there's Buddhists now. I know Buddhist teachers that eat meat. And the prophecy 500 years ago is that's why Tibet will be destroyed, that they left the path. The Tibetans say that. Yes? Right. No. 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 That's a lot of our equipment is designed for that. You know, to open it up and get that is true. Yeah, those are all still original foods. They're still edible in their raw, natural state. I mean, if you have to break it open, that's okay. That protects it and stuff. And if it has seeds in it, it's the highest foods. Cucumbers and stuff. Very high vibrations. Fruits, right? Or vegetables. Squash is a fruit or vegetable?
It's the fruit of the plant, but we call it the vegetable.
Right. They're all fruits. They're very high vibrations. So you have salads and green leafy, you know, salads every day. It's a good thing. Okay, so let's go on. I didn't want to take this time in the miasm class, so I stick it in here now. Because miasm, we can go into other stuff, war, famine, all this stuff. It's all sorrow. This is the cause of suffering in the Buddhist terms, is sorrow. And a quick thing here. We have only four levels that we can function on. We know the four levels we function on. One is perception. The other one is feeling, knowledge. This is very good for psychologists because you'll see what you're really treating. You perceive the world. Everyone observes and perceives the world, and they get feedback from the world. That feedback becomes knowledge. Knowledge isn't a good word. It's better beliefs and attitudes or our interpretation of what we perceived. The next level that we function on is the function of feelings and desires. In this one word, desires, everything you see comes down to this one word, desire. You can trace all emotional illnesses, all that back to a desire, motivation, expectation. So desire is one of our root soric things in psychological problems. And what's the last thing? We perceive the world, we get information from the world, that information stimulates desires and feelings in us, positive or negative, and what's the last thing? Behavior, action. Okay? And this is a limitation of all healers, including ourselves, that we can manipulate people's actions and behavior without ever affecting their desires. You will never cure the case. You can psychologically manipulate someone's desires and feelings, but you'll never cure the case without manipulating their belief structure and this and that. And you can never change a person's belief structure except by pure perception and experience himself. Okay? So this is deterioration is through here. We perceive the world, and what's it say? The animals were put here for us to consume. Okay? So we perceived animals in the environment. We concluded intellectually that they were put here for us to consume. That means we're put here for sharks and tigers and anything that eats humans, right? That means we're put on the earth to feed them, okay? And that provokes desires, which is a craving for the meat and flesh, and that produces behavior, which is cutting down the forest and using up the water and destroying the planet because of our desire for meat, okay? So it's a cascade effect. Okay, so dental emergencies. And the first thing I want to say, always in a dental emergency, the tooth gets knocked out, always grab that tooth. Don't think that it can't be saved, especially with remedies. A tooth gets knocked out, I mean, if it's in a bunch of dirt, you might have to wash it out. You stick it right back in. Okay, everybody follow? This is what the dentists say, right? I have a little thing from the dentist here. I'm going to give you some qigong things for your teeth also. It can be wrapped up or put in some water and taken to it, but it's even better to put it right back in if you can. Okay. Yeah. They said, did you find the teeth? Here's what they say. This is a American Dental Association. Broken or chipped tooth. Save the tooth parts. Look for it. Find them. Clean the affected area gently with warm water and apply a cold compress to the cheek. And you'd give what remedy? Tooth is knocked out or chipped and it's on the floor. You give arnica or hypericum. We found hypericum is superior to arnica for knocked out teeth and chipped teeth if they're painful. If they're not, then I would go with arnica. But if they're in severe pain, go with hypericum. Okay. We've had a case, her teeth wasn't knocked out, your sister? They got both the front teeth. She fell and hit both of them. They're severe pain. Drugs wouldn't do it. One dose of hypericum took all the pain away. And the teeth are saved. Okay? Abscess, tooth, or gums, the American Dental Association says take an aspirin. So don't write that down. We'll give you remedies for that. Okay, lost fillings, they say rinse the mouth out vigorously, clean it. And don't use heat. If someone lost their fillings, don't apply warmth to the area. Why? Because that expands blood vessels and promotes more bleeding. Always put cold on the area to constrict the blood vessels. Broken crowns, save the crowns and take them to your dentist. Knocked out tooth, pick it up by the crown. Rinse it gently if it's dirty. Try it. If you can see a dentist within a half hour, it can be saved. The whole tooth can be put back in. Broken braces or wires, all you have to do is take some cotton or gauze and put it on the broken ends and take them to the dentist. Make sure you want to secure the wire, otherwise it will start poking and irritating the area. Okay? And we talk about some dental surgery, right? And also, people know the remedies for apprehension to the dentist, anxiety. American Dental Association survey is that 50% of all Americans have apprehension or anxiety or fear of going to the dentist. And 85% of those, 90% of those, that fear originated from childhood and they still have the fear. Okay? So half the people are terrified. It's a traumatic experience. The anticipation of the pain. So what's your top remedy here? Anxiety on going to the dentist. Gelsemium. This is the one that works the most. Okay? That's all I can give you. You can look up in the books, but they don't tell you some of these things. Clinically, this works almost every time. Aconite, I would put second. A much different picture here. Argentite, I would put third. And then phosphorus, and even up next to gelsemium is rescue remedy. Just remember, if you don't know what to give for anxiety, just give rescue remedy. Rescue remedy and gelsemium, or either one, will take care of 80-90% of panic attacks in children or adults on going to the doctor or the dentist. And it's a physical fear. What we call physical fear, because they have the memory of the pain has been impressed on them, and the thought of going reactivates the fear. Okay? But gelsemium will do the great. Gelsemium's our great fear remedy, more so than aconite. The books will tell you aconite. But the aconite is for what's called plethoric constitutions. Very vigorous, healthy people react real strongly. In our civilization, our population, is not as strong aconite as it was in the 1800s. We don't have these robust, vigorous, country, mountain people type of constitutions anymore. You know your grandparents and all that. They came from the old country. They're the ones that respond well to aconite. Today it's gelsemium. And the signs of gelsemium are a weak sinking feeling, shaking and trembling, and the first sign is loose stools. And you can, I mean, I've seen this in myself. I say, oh, yeah, I'm not afraid. I haven't been to a dentist in 15 years, okay? It's not that I don't believe in them, but and I've never had another cavity or never another problem. When I changed my diet 20 years ago, all my symptoms went away of bleeding gums and ulcers and sores, all that went away with change of diet. And I became a vegetarian, and I got a whole new set of symptoms from the starch-based diet, okay? So I've improved my health. Okay. But gelsemium, the first sign is a loose stool. You have a child and they tell you that they're not afraid and they had diarrhea that day or a loose stool that night. That's gelsemium. That's enough to give it. Okay. And it's best that you give it the night before or give it on the way to the dentist in the car. There's a lot of different procedures for this.
You can make yourself.
I enjoyed it. They don't use that much. My last dentist in Portland would use it. I had earphones and nitrous oxide, and I get to bring my own tapes in. She's a holistic dentist and stuff like that. So none of that stuff ever bothered me. It just depends on your susceptible. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. So arnica, mercury, there's a whole procedure. This is the first stage. If anything happens on an emotional level, rescue remedy or gelsemium will take care of most cases. Don't even think about it. Just try one of those. If they're really freaked out and it's a panic attack and they're in terror, then you look at aconite. If the gelsemium is palliating and the bowel things are much stronger, then you shift right to argentite. Gelsemium is the acute argentite. Argentite is gelsemium exaggerated. That means you have panic and diarrhea and bloating, stage fright, all this type of stuff. Argentite's much deeper. Most cases, you don't have to go that deep. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Would foster be indicated for like a person who's having emotional reactions?
Right. Phosphorus are real just sensitive in general, and from the history, you'll get phosphorus. And the two other criteria with phosphorus, I would give phosphorus as a panic attack remedy if there's a history of bleeding and sensitivity to anesthesia. Those will confirm phosphorus for the anxiety state too. It's a phosphorus patient.
And also if they have a sensitivity to the electromagnetic equipment.
Right, right, okay. So you are most likely, they are a phosphorus person. So this up above here, you don't have to be argentite, aconite, gelsemium person. This is an acute emotional state. It's an old memory that has resurfaced. It's a physical memory of pain, okay, that's resurfaced. And then the mind perceives it, and that provokes the emotions.
That's what I'm asking, because some people who never have that experience with the dentist per se,
that
they just
don't know. Right. Yeah, you won't know what to, then you'd give rescue remedy or something like this for this. But if you do have a history, you'll see phosphorus is needed. Okay? And quick, yes?
Is one of
the
other better for gagging reflex?
The gagging? Yeah, arginite can gag. They start choking and gagging and stuff like that. Okay, and then preparation for surgery, real quick. The major remedy that you need, of course, is arnica. It depends on the surgery. If you know the person's doing root canal, I shift to hypericum. But routinely, I often tell people they have gelsemium and arnica with them, or rescue remedy and arnica, and they're set. And they say, I went through with no pain, it healed right up, I had no fear. Smooth sailing. Root canals shift to hypericum. or any nerve work. Another sign for hypericum, if the teeth are hypersensitive, their history of hypersensitive, history of root canals, history of nerve pains. And hypersensitive, you ask, are they sensitive to heat or cold or touch or chewing? And if that tooth is real sensitive, then the preventive medicine for the surgery is hypericum. Otherwise, all the rest, we give our arnica routinely. Okay?
How do you do the prevention? Day before?
No. That's a good question. How do you do the prevention? Now, you'll read these books. Very few books. I have a couple up here on dentistry. This is it. 20 pages, 40 pages. And this one, 90% of the book is homeopathic philosophy. It has nothing to do with dentistry. And this is the only real book. It's a little book from England. And the differentials are like one word differentials. So I have half this stack of dental stuff. We'll talk about the tinctures next. There's three or four tinctures, herbal tinctures that are good. Okay. So what was your question?
Do you do the preparation the day before?
No. Yeah, never waste arnica. Okay. We have people, and calendula's the third one here. Arnica, hypericum, or calendula. These are your three surgical prep remedies. Okay? And calendula is for all the scraping and cleaning, and what they do that when they cut the gums, and they scrape and cut the gums and let them all bleed. Yeah, that's a treatment, calendula. Right? So these are your three. If they're going to be cutting and scraping, give them calendula preventively. If it's root canal, nerve work, hypericum, all other extractions and stuff like that are arnica. And we take it immediately before you walk into the dentist's office. If you're a holistic dentist, then you can take it right then. The sooner you take it, closer to the surgery, the better. If you take it for three times a day, for two or three days before, you're wasting it. And your tolerance to arnica and stuff goes up. And then you might need a 1M in an emergency of a sprained leg instead of a 30. Never waste your arnica. So you give it right when you walk in the dentist. If it's not a holistic dentist, you take it and walk in their office. 30 or 200C. Yes? That's usually the night before. Yeah. You start with anxiety, you start as soon as anxiety comes. Okay? So hopefully, and if it hasn't cleared, the rescue remedy will usually palliate the anxiety. So whenever the anxiety comes up, you give the remedy. But the surgical remedies and prep remedies should be taken as close to the surgery as possible. And usually a 30C or a 200C. If it's major dental work, give them an arnica 200. Half hour, 10 minutes before they go into the office. Don't waste it. Okay? And then other preps, the last prep we would use possibly is phosphorus if there's a known history of excessive bleeding and anesthesia reactions. An anesthesia reaction is that the jaw stays numb and stuff for days and days afterwards, and they feel real groggy, and they came out of anesthesia 99.9%, and that 0.1% there is causing a problem. Or I've seen phosphorus or hypericum wake up deadened nerves. So you get an injection from the dentist into a nerve, and it anesthetizes the area, and the nerve doesn't come back out. Think of hypericum or phosphorus. Okay, to wake up deadened nerves. Herbs. There's about four herbs we use for oral health. First is calendula. And the calendula mouthwashes are excellent for people with gum disease. Gingivitis, what's that other one? Periodontal disease. And if you just incorporate and you would take 5 to 10 drops of the tincture and a couple ounces of water and gargle 2-3 times a day, that will often heal up a lot of gums. And it's also a good thing to do if there was extensive dental work afterwards, after the surgery, as has a person gargle with calendula tincture for 3 or 4 days, and that will prevent sepsis and infections from setting in. And you'll see rapid healing of the soft tissues. The gums and stuff will heal up much quicker with a calendula gargle. Okay? Next is hypericum. And hypericum tincture gargle is good for sores in the mouth. And it's an emergency first aid remedy. You can drop the tincture into the decayed, painful tooth. There's cases of instantaneous relief of a toothache. Not in potency, in tincture. And the other herb here is plantago. Plantago. Grows all around here. The broadleaf plantain. So if you're ever in the woods, snake bites, rat bites, just grab one of those leaves. Tetanus, they used to chew on the leaves to prevent tetanus. Okay. Plantago tincture is the specialty of this tincture is immediate relief of severe toothaches, an emergency situation, and decayed hollow teeth. And some of the old eclectic physicians and herbalists in the 1800s would take plantago tincture and drop it on a little bit of cotton, saturate cotton, and stick it into the decayed tooth. Leave it there and then change it, you know, once or twice, three times a day. Soak it again, stick it back in. Okay. Let's see what else I have on plantago. They also put it in the ear. It's also been used for the tobacco habit, snake bites, but its name to fame in homeopathy is instantaneous relief of toothaches. Okay. Another emergency thing I've seen work many times is the magnet and north pole of the magnet. Just put the north pole of the magnet right on the toothache. My last toothache I had was 20 years ago, and the magnet stopped it. Also seems to work for insomnia. I used to have chronic insomnia. I had a toothache, and I refused to go to the dentist. So I took the magnet north pole, put it there, 5-10 minutes, pain was gone. Okay, you just sedate the electromagnetic nerve impulses. It sedates the nerve. So emergency situation, if someone has a horseshoe magnet in the house, grab it. And put it right on there and tell them to hold it. 5 minutes. Yes?
If the tooth isn't hollow, you know, if it isn't decayed openly so you can see it,
right.
Would you still use the tincture to drop on? You
know, right. I would lean more toward the hypericum. Uh-huh. Right. So hypericum seems to work for both, but plantago specifically. If it's abscessed and decayed and all that, go right to plantago tincture. They use it like mullein. They put drops and put it in the ear for earaches. Takes away ear pain. I guess we could do that with Tramiel and those things too. Yeah. Put it on cotton, put it right in the tooth. You've done it?
No,
in the ear, right. Right. Someone mentioned that in one of the classes. Okay, the other herb, this isn't an herb, but the other one is hydrastis. And that's a very good gargle, if you can get people to take it, right? It's real bitter. But 5, 10, 15 drops and a couple ounces of water and gargle. And this is for the septic mouth. And the tongue is real yellowish. There's a bad odor to the mouth. They have sores or the gums aren't healing well. Then it's hydrastis seems to work. Golden seal seems to work better than calendula. Okay. Calendula is more for sepsis due to surgery and cutting of the gums and scraping. Hydrastis, if the whole mouth is infected. And I would switch to hydrastis. In England, they use salvia officinalis, which is what? Sage. So the number one thing for preparation of surgery and gargling for all the dental things was sage. Tea and you would gargle with it. Or you take the tincture of sage and put it in water and gargle.
Is it preventative?
Preventative and curative. So they would prescribe that, like we would prescribe Hydrastis. So either one of those are good for the septic mouth. Okay, and hemorrhage, everyone knows that most cases would be phosphorus. And what do you do if phosphorus doesn't work? Because it works. In my experience, you're looking at 80% of the time, phosphorus, after tooth extraction, a dose of phosphorus will stop the bleeding. Even arnica will do it. If you did arnica preventatively and then take another dose of arnica when you leave the dentist's office, you can prevent the hemorrhage. But in some people, they will still bleed, and then phosphorus will stop it. What's the second remedy? Ipecac. Okay? Bright red blood. And Ipecac has the gagging and the bad taste in the mouth after dental surgery with the hemorrhage. So if there is gagging or nausea or anorexia is normal. But if you get a lot of that real strong, then Ipecac may be better than phosphorus. If Ipecac doesn't work, then I would think of ferrum floss for dental hemorrhage. But most of our hemorrhages are prevented with arnica, hypericum, or calendula with the preparation for surgery. But if it still comes, look at phosphorus, Ipecac, ferrum floss. Okay. There's another, the millifolium, which is homeopathic yarrow, is another one for dental hemorrhage after extractions. And millifolium or yarrow is very good because it combines arnica and phosphorus in the same plant. So it has trauma. That means a lot of work in the jaw and drilling in the bones and nerves. Don't you feel that when I say that? Drilling. So if there's a lot of that and nerve bleeders, you might want to consider yarrow, homeopathic tincture, okay, or in potency. So you have arnica, or you can go arnica and then follow with phosphorus, or try yarrow to cover everything. Now you said chew the yarrow leaves or root or something for all the bleeding gums and things. Okay. Some of your astringent herbs help. In Qigong, they have two techniques, and one is called knocking the teeth. Okay, people have heard of that? You ever see someone that's going like this? And I have a protocol here on the Qigong books. Another exercise is a tongue exercise. In the knocking of teeth, you want to do 36 knocks. And the Dawas did this, and this improves the gums, it strengthens the teeth, and makes the teeth stronger and whiter and all that. And you do 36 knocks, and you stop. Now, the old Dawas would do 36 times 36, but no one today would do it. So you just gently knock them and count 36 and stop. And maybe do a few. If you have loose teeth or all kinds of dental problems, this is a tonic exercise for the whole mouth. Okay? Yes. And each tooth is connected with different meridians, right? And all, so you're stimulating everything. Kidneys, bones, everything's connected. And that little thing, they got very healthy, strong teeth. And that's especially elderly people that are starting to get loose, gums are receding, you can recommend that exercise. Forgot which book. Maybe I'll bring the book tomorrow. And the other one is tongue rotations. And you close your lips and you put your tongue between the teeth and the lips, and then you rotate the tongue around 36 times. And the Taoists claim all this had great benefit, you know, for the whole thing, because there's all these points around the mouth. And they didn't, I couldn't find which direction, clockwise, counterclockwise. They just said 36 rotations, something with the number 36. That strengthens the tongue. So a person has speech problems, that's a very good exercise for stammering and speech problems in children. Okay, let's do 36 rotations, minimum a day, and more if they want to do it. Okay, can you do it? Everybody can do that? It takes a little coordination, right? Yes. Tansy? Okay, so the tansy plant chewed raw, chew the leaves, can help numb the area. There's a herb that I've used, it's a poinsettia. If you have a borakis, you can look that up. I think I mentioned that. And poinsettia is Jamaican dogwood. So if you really have someone severe pain and none of these hypericum or stuff is working, then poinsettia, if it's available. And that's what they throw in Jamaica into the ponds, and it knocks out the fish. Okay.
This is for pain?
This is for pain in the decayed teeth or stuff like that. And you can put it right on the tooth, or you can take it and drink it. It's a real powerful, non-narcotic, non-addictive sedative. And I told you the story of the guy that did the first proving of poinsettia. He took one dram, which is like a teaspoon, he drank it, and he woke up the next day in the same position. So he overdosed himself. So five drops is enough to numb that area and stuff like that. We kind of avoid cloves and this other stuff. They're just too strong. And we always watch the aromatics, not because they antidote, because they have effects on a very subtle level. So everything people say about aromatherapy is true, but that's an area they're going in kind of blindly. The aromas are very powerful on our energy body. Okay, tiger balm, cloves, these are very powerful. So you can stop the pain in the teeth and throw all the meridians off with tiger balm or cloves. And you can muscle test someone before and after cloves and you'll see everything will go weak, or tiger balm. And people are so used to using it because it locally works, but it's so etheric that it has powerful effects. Camphor and very powerful medicines. Okay. What other emergencies? Surgery, knocked out teeth, that's about it, right? Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay. So let's go on. I have some articles that people want to see at the break. Arnica, a clinical trial following surgery by a dentist, 1973. 1981, homeopathic support in dental surgery. And it's just amazing results. Now, most people here have seen what arnica would do in surgery for dental. I mean, people will go through with no pain. Unbelievable. And I've had seen people that have, which I don't have, that have more confidence, they will take arnica and don't do anesthesia. Right. No anesthesia. Right. I've had at least 10 or 20 people tell me that. Oh, I took my arnica. You don't need anesthesia if you take arnica. Give me a shot. They don't bother me, you know. That feeling doesn't. Some people can't stand that numb feeling. And it doesn't bother me. Right. And that'd be a good thing to olfactory. Put arnica pellet in a little thing and have them sniff it and put it somehow, you know, that should work too. Okay, let's take a short break and we'll do amalgams. We talk about protocol and how to prepare people and how to treat them for taking the amalgams out and how to recognize the emotional symptoms from mercury poisoning. So let's talk about mercury fillings, and I'm sure everybody here is aware of it and believe that they're bad, and so I'm not going to, you know, try to convince you of that. I'm just going to give you some symptoms on how to recognize it and how to treat it and how to get people to prepare them for removing their amalgams in the transition phase. Okay, it's a very tricky thing, and from my experience, I've helped a lot of people go through this. You will see the majority of people will get general improvement after each filling is removed. That's the majority of people. Some people, you know, and they're kind of disappointed. They spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, and you'll find that their health has no change. So expect that, but that's okay. Okay, you're preventing things in the future. Some people will get worse during the procedure and then go to improvement. So that's another pattern that you'll see. Worse, then better. Other people, a smaller group of people, will get worse and then stay worse. So don't think that everyone that gets their amalgams removed is going to all react the same. The most benefit you'll see is in group number 3, this worse and then better. You can eliminate this initial worse part with homeopathic remedies. Okay? We still give the same, you know, mercury and potency and the same protocol for all these people. But this group 4, the person, especially if you give them mercury preventatively during each time they remove a filling and they're getting worse and worse, this is the group you have to watch. And mercury in homeopathic doses or in physical doses is not compatible with that person. And you don't keep giving them homeopathic mercury because you believe it's antidoting or getting the mercury out. And their body is saying, no, they're deteriorating. Okay? And we see this group here, it's often 1 to 2 weeks decline. So if someone has their fillings pulled out and they're exhausted or they have swollen glands or they're sick for a week or two, there still is a chance that they will immediately lift up after 1 to 2 weeks. If you're in the 3rd or 4th week and they've had their fillings removed and they're still in this state, then they're out of group number 4. And you have to go to a more general remedy or a different antidote for mercury. Okay? And I don't have the percentages, but you're down to maybe 5% here. You know, this is, you may have 20-30% of these people. And another 20-30%, it made no difference in their life. And another 30% or so, I know it doesn't add up, but 30% or so, a dramatic cure. But don't put that idea of a dramatic cure for everybody. You have to observe which one of these 4 groups of people, you know. Anybody seen any other groups? I've seen people deteriorate, improve, do nothing, and remarkable cures. Okay? So we can adjust your prescribing and your criteria. But the worst thing is when you buy these combinations or you go to a holistic doctor that does these mercury in homeopathic doses routinely, and as group 4, you're going to have a lot of problems. They will approve the remedy on an energetic level, and they're poisoned by it in a physical level. And in these cases, we have to give an analog or a homeopathic antidote, and it's never mercury. Okay? And what's nice about this system is you can identify the number 4 people, the group 4 people, because after their fillings, they remove 1 or 2 fillings at the first visit, they never really recover before their next visit. So your whole protocol will be changed by your second visit.
What are your theories on that?
That's the wrong remedy. This poisoning is so severe, and the taking out and the releasing of the vapors, and this, the physical sensitivity to mercury, it's beyond that. They're even sensitive to it in a vaporous form and in a homeopathic form. And that person is rejecting mercury. And to keep giving them mercury, you aggravate and they will deteriorate more. Because we always, you know, we routinely give mercury to everyone. But it should happen no more than 1 visit. You should not keep repeating that mistake. Now they have approving of mercury and mercury poisoning. And they've done studies in Europe, many studies where they gave mercury to mice and all this stuff, and they gave homeopathic mercury, and they eliminated 80-90% faster and quicker elemental mercury if they were on a homeopathic mercury 6X. It's very powerful. We have a person and several people in town. One was had very high beryllium count. So that's released from Los Alamos or something. It's in the air and in the soil in Santa Fe. So most of us have high beryllium count. And we gave beryllium 6x. And in 30 days, he had his hair